Christmas story started long before, as you're about to hear. Thanks, sweetheart. He's such a good helper. You're a good helper, buddy. The Christmas story started long before Mary and Joseph were looking for a room at the inn. And hundreds, and in fact, sometimes even thousands of years ahead of time, God prophesied through his people of a coming Savior. And as you're about to hear, these prophecies were spoken and then came forth. I'll share a scripture with you from Isaiah 55. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth," the Lord says. "It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So the kids have prepared to minister the scriptures to you today. I think you're going to really enjoy it. And then I'll wrap just a little bit at the end. And we've got some creative lighting as well.
And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust. You shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel."
"But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the end of the earth, and this one shall be peace."
"Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel."
The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. "On the nations of the all the nations of the world shall be blessed because you obeyed my voice."
"I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rest out of Israel."
"For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this."
"Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel."
"When Israel was a child, I loved him. Now of Egypt, I called my son."
"Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they were no more.
The voice of a crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight a desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, "You are my son, today I have begotten you."
There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord.
The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all, in all the earth. Who have set your glory above in the heavens as out of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected. No, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger.
Aren't they doing a wonderful job so far? They've got more. As I said, these prophecies were all in the Old Testament that they just read, some thousands of years before Jesus was born, the newest 450 years before Jesus was born. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," John 1:14, "and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God."
But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be
fulfilled with was spoken by the Lord taught through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which they translated God with us.
Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child, so that while they were, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and waited there until the death of Herod, and that might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son."
Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry, and set forth and put to death all who were in Bethlehem and all his districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had been determined by the wise men. Then was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because there are no more."
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'"
When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were upon to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
Then the blind and lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the son of David, they were indignant and asked him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus said, "Yes,
Have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise.
Can you give them a round of applause? You guys did a really nice job. I don't know if you guys noticed it. I think they got a little bit nervous and looked at the paper, but most of them actually had those verses and totally memorized. Isn't that amazing? And in fact, I don't know if you see this artwork up here. You can see it afterwards. The kids actually meditated on the scriptures that they were going to be reading, and many of them had an opportunity to even make some art that represented the scripture to them. So again, great job, kids. Great job. You guys were the ministers today, weren't you?
Yeah.
You ministered the Word of God. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to talk for a second now. All those prophecies were at least 450 years before Jesus, some 4,000 years before Jesus. Now, here's at least eight that you heard fulfilled, because you heard the prophecy and then you heard the fulfillment, that the Messiah would be born to a virgin. The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, small town. The Messiah would be Emmanuel, literally God with us. The Messiah, watch this, would be of the lineage of Abraham, of Jacob, and of David, and therefore of his father Jesse. This one, it blows me away too. The Messiah, although from Bethlehem, would actually be a Galilean and would be called forth from a time in Egypt. The Messiah would have a forerunner who would declare, prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist, and people would see a great light when the Messiah comes, the star, and eventually the children would praise him. Isn't that beautiful? You guys did that today. It blesses God by reading his word. God is looking for his word to be released in this earth. He created the earth with his word, and then once he put man in charge of the earth, he spoke through man in order to accomplish his will on this earth. That's why it took 4,000 years from the first scripture, which we read from Genesis 3, where it was prophesied, God said that your seed, Jesus, capital S, would stamp out Satan's head under his heel. That was prophesied 4,000 years before Christ. Why did it take 4,000 years for the prophecies to be fulfilled? Because it took 4,000 years for all the prophecies to be spoken. That's why John 1:14 says that the Word of God became flesh. The Word needed to be released through people that were listening to God so that the prophecies could be released, such that then Mary became pregnant by spiritual seed. The Word of God. Isn't that awesome? Okay, there is a math professor that had his 600 math students do a statistical analysis of what it would take for eight prophecies about Christ to have been fulfilled, like the eight that I just read to you. And they did like a, you know, each of these is not a flip of a coin. There was lots of cities Jesus could have been born in, but he was born in this small town called Bethlehem. And there was like a proportional ratio of the opportunity for him to be born in a bigger city versus a small city like Bethlehem. Right? Okay. And so they actually did the statistical analysis on it, and it was something like the eight prophecies were, I read two different things, two different places. I'll give you the more conservative one. The eight prophecies to be fulfilled is a 1 out of 100 quadrillion chance. But there's actually a lot more than eight prophecies about Christ. Another statistical study studied 48. If there were 48 prophecies, what would the chances of that being fulfilled be? That's 1 over 10 to the 157th power. So 0.0 and then do 157 or 156 zeros. I haven't done my math in a while. And then have 1. That's the chance of 48 prophecies being fulfilled. Yet there's more than 300 scriptural prophecies about Jesus that were fulfilled in his life, death, and resurrection. 300. Needless to say, The only way that could have ever happened is this phrase, all things are possible with God. Isn't that wonderful? So John 1:14, when Jesus was born, the Word literally became flesh. Okay, we're going to have a candle lighting. We're going to have a, so the children read the Word, which became flesh, and then they read the fulfillment. We're going to have a candle lighting, and then we'll enjoy singing Silent Night together. If you, Megs, if you want to get those lights again, it'll be nice with the candles. And then, would some kids be able to hand out candles? Okay, they're all willing. Do it nice and orderly. We rehearse this. Don't lie, Peter, don't lie. We did not rehearse this. The kids will bring you candles. We didn't have any of the official candle holders, so we custom made some. You'll notice that they're white on top, which is traditional, and they're fluorescent pink and things on the bottom, which is not traditional.
Okay, so this is a tradition that I've done almost my entire life, and I believe that it's a valuable one because of its visual significance to the kingdom of God. I'm sure you probably noticed that several of the scriptures that were read this evening spoke about Jesus as being light. There's an interesting thing, I don't know if you've ever noted, there are many, many, many religions on the face of the planet that say that light and darkness are equal, that they're equal forces. But if you look at science and the world around us, that's actually not true. Dark can never cancel out light. If you put light and dark in a room together, only one will win, and it's always the same one. They are not equal. So when the Word said that Jesus was light and in him was the light of men, and that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, that's not only a symbol, but it's a reality. Light has overcome darkness, and the Lord has placed his light inside, physically, literally inside, every human being who believes on his name. And that is how the light spreads. So as we pass the light of Christ from person to person, as it spreads throughout the world, the light overcomes the darkness. So part of what we do in the candle lighting service is just take a moment and let's sing. We're going to sing Silent Night here with John. I just encourage you just to take a moment and meditate on the significance of this. That the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who were stumbling in darkness, a light has dawned. And that is the calling that is on every one of us, not only as individuals, but as a group. Because see what happens when the kingdom of light comes together and does our work in tandem. So let's just sing Silent Night together. Thank you.
We just want to wish you a Merry Christmas again. God bless you. I pray the Father's blessing over each of you, that you would know how much you're loved and how much He delights in you, as evidenced by sending His precious Son. Enjoy your family. God bless your family time. Love you guys. Amen.